Once I settle for second, it happens to me. I am second. This is Dr. Herb L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Instant Inspiration. Instant Inspiration. Once I settle for second, it happens to me. I am second. I had a call from a friend today, and he was telling me that he would like more than anything in the world to have his perfect companion. And I said, well, you can continue having your relationships with the friends that you have, and your perfect companion will be a long time coming. And he said, well, why is that? Because your perfect companion will think that you are taken, that you already have somebody that is perfect for you, and they won't want to come into your life and upset your program. They wouldn't think of doing that. Hey, well, what should I do? I said, well, what do you think you should do? I said, you're dealing with principle, and the principle knows only one-pointedness. Now, what do you think you should do? Well, I guess I should just hold out for my perfect companion. And I said, well, how important is it to you to have your perfect companion? He said, well, I guess it's very important. And I said, well, how important? I said, you want second best? You want to come in second? As our statement is here, once I say I settle for second, it happens to be I am second. Okay? Once you settle for second, then you'll have second. You will not have the ideal, wonderful companion that is so important to you. So, now, do you have the strength? Do you have the fortitude? Do you have the desire for that perfect companion, the ideal companion? And who is that ideal companion? I don't know. I wish I knew. And I said, well, all is in divine order. If you say my perfect companion is in divine order, then you don't fool around. You don't fool around. You just remain open, and you can continue to have friends. You can continue to go places and go to movies and go to things, but not have a one friend, not have a one relationship while you're developing your perfect relationship, your perfect companion. Well, yeah, that's tough, you know. That means I wouldn't be going out too much, and I wouldn't be doing, hey, nobody said that. Nobody said that. When you say all is in divine order, and I have my perfect companion, when you put that cause in motion, it's like not desiring to drink anymore. I now am master of my habit, and all is in divine order. You have no desire to drink anymore. You have no desire to smoke. You have no desire to do whatever habit you had which limited you in your mind. So, when you say, I have my perfect companion, you have no desire to be out with other companions, to be out with other people, to be out with other associations, you know, and it's perfect. And you don't find fulfillment in a boyfriend or a girlfriend or anybody else. You just are open and receptive to divine right order for that perfect companion. But I might never find... Okay, that's fine, then don't play the game. Don't play the game that you're going for your perfect companion if you feel you might never find one and you might be without a companion for a long time. Well, you deserve it. You haven't trained yourself in self-discipline, self-dedication, self-diligence, and self-determination. You haven't fulfilled those things. You haven't been able to not judge and not be possessed and so forth. You haven't fulfilled those attitudes of your being. You're still touched by the thing, I need to have a companion. I need to have someone to share my joy and happiness with. Hey, when you start loving yourself, sharing your joy and happiness with yourself, then you will have a perfect companion. Well, okay, that's a good idea. Then that's probably what I should do. And I said, no, it's not probably what you should do. You either believe in it 100% or you don't. Because if you believe in it a little bit, you'll think you're getting somewhere, but you're not. This is an all or nothing thing. You either are pregnant or you're not. You either are on drugs or you're not. You're either on liquor, alcohol, or whatever, or you're not. There's no thing about being a little bit or not. Now, people who are not alcoholics, they can drink, apparently, and be untouched. Whoops-a-daisy! Whoops-a-daisy! What does alcohol do to your system? Everybody knows alcohol does dumb things to your system. Alcohol upsets the metabolism. Alcohol upsets the normal biological functions of the system. Alcohol upsets it. So any alcohol by a person who is alcoholic or not alcoholic still makes a problem in the body. Now, you like that problem. Many people like that problem because it makes them feel lightheaded and it makes them feel sort of compatible and sharing and stuff. But hey, it still is not good for the body. It says it takes the body so many days, weeks, or months to overcome the use of alcohol or the use of smoking or the use of various things in the body, you know, the use of drugs. And it takes a long time for you to overcome it, but you can. Basically, you can. They say you fry your eggs, you fry your brains when you're taking drugs, and to a degree you do. And to a degree, you lose some of your facility, but you can get back to a fairly balanced arrangement of yourself, and you do. But you don't by continually saying, I have fried brains, you know. And you don't by continually saying, I don't have my perfect companion. I don't. Where do you see that perfect companion? Where is she? You know, where is he? You know, I don't see him. Well, that's not the point. You say, contrary to all illusions, I have my perfect companion. You don't want to take second. If you take second, then just plan the rest of your life to be in second place. To have someone who is pretty nice and pretty wonderful, like most marriages. They're pretty nice and pretty wonderful. But 50% of them break up. And the other 50% of them are unstable. Hey, that's a terrible thing to say, that all marriages in the world are unstable. They are. Only when you don't have a marriage after you get married is it stable. Only when you are not possessed by another person or you do not possess another person, you merely enjoy their companionship and share with them all of the beauty and the goodness that you are and let them share with you the beauty and goodness they are and not feel that you're their master, that you tell them when they can come in and when they can go out and they got to report in every night and tell you that they're late for dinner or not coming for dinner or what have you, and that you have to know where they are. Hey, before you're married, do you ever tell your boyfriend or your girlfriend, hey, I want to know where you are. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know where you go. Hey, red flag, no marriage. Not to that one. Not to that one. And yet, the moment you get married, that's exactly what you do. And what a shame. What a shame. You always come in second. You always come in second because of one thing. Because you are not
1.6.
First. Okay. You always come in second because you are not first. No. You do not say, I am number one. I am fantastic. I am glorious. I'm beautiful. And you are number one. You're fantastic. You're glorious. And you're wonderful. And the thing is, together, we're having a good time together. But I never forget that you're number one. And you never forget that I'm number one. And I don't have to report to you. And I don't have to do all these things to you. I just live my own life beautifully, fully, wonderfully, fantastically. And if I say to you, hey, love, I'll see you in about 2 weeks. You don't ask where that person is going, what they're doing. I'm interested. No, you aren't. You're judging them. You're determining whether they have a right to be disappearing for a week or two. No, just say, hey, have a good time. When the person comes back, don't ask what they did.
Sure.
But I should be interested in what they did. No, you shouldn't. No, you should just be glad that they chose to continue your sharing, your relationship. And when she goes away and does the same thing, then you do the same thing. Now, are you an evil person? Yes, you are an evil person. Because the minute I don't have control of you, you're liable to go out and do something dumb, do something bad, do something stupid, you know. Well, is that true? This is what we think in marriages. that the minute we don't know what the other person is doing, they're doing something stupid. Oh, my husband, he's doing something stupid again. You know, he was out with the boys and they stayed out and they went to this party and then they went deer hunting and they went here and they went there. And, you know, he's doing something stupid. Well, hey, man, cool it. When's the last time you went out and did something stupid? Like be yourself and enjoy yourself. When? And until you do it, you can't call someone else for what they're doing is stupid. My dad used to go deer hunting with the men from his work group, and they would go up there for a week in the North Country, and they'd live in stupidity and poverty and simplicity and cold, and they were hunting the deer. That was all part of the hunting the deer, you know. And they would cook over a stove, and they'd go out and have a little lean-to for Johnny and stuff like that. It was, you know, primitive, but they loved it. My mother, I know, never doubted my father when he went. Never asked what he was doing. Never thought, is he going into the bar at night? Or all the rest of them. I mean, all these men carousing around together, you know. Are they out, you know, looking for trouble? Never thought that. And he never did it. And she wanted to go and do different things, and he always said, no, you got to take care of the kids. You got to do this. He says, no. I'm going down to Unity Farm. I'm going to take my courses down there. I'm going to become a Unity minister. So every summer she'd go down to Unity Farm, take the courses, and be gone for a month or so, and great. And the family got along just fine. But the thing is, she had to step her foot down. Now, how many wives would put their foot down with their husband and say, I'm going? They're afraid of their marriage. They're afraid their husband slap them around. Well, I'd get out of that marriage right away if anybody slapped me around. You know, that's not the place to be. We don't need violence to control us, unless that's our nature. Maybe we like being slapped around. Maybe we like violence. We're sort of sick people if we do that. But some people like that. And, hey, they get it, too. But, no. When you are a master, that's a little heavy. When you are being yourself and having fun, and that is a master too. When you're being yourself and having fun, you're not owned, possessed, controlled by anybody, and you don't own, possess, or control anybody else. Remember that. And you're number one. And naturally, naturally the people you associate with are number one. You don't associate with a second-class person that you can manipulate, that you can tell what to do and shove around. Any wife that lets her husband shove her around, man, she hasn't taken her responsibility of standing up for who she is. And any husband who has his wife milquetoast him, you know, make him into a nothing, into a zombie, is stupid, you know. Because you don't need that person, they don't need you, but you enjoy each other. And the minute you get over the fact that I got to tell you how to behave, you know, I got 6 children in my family, and my husband is the 6th, you know. And whenever a woman says that, I think to myself, what a sad relationship they have. But my husband loves it. He loves being, you know, one of the kids, you know. Sure he does. He may love it because he's a sick person. He may love it because it's the only way he can keep you happy. He may love it and make you think he loves it, but he goes out and does his own thing and hates it, you know. And this is silly. Never take second place in life. Never feel that you are second, because if you do, that's where you belong. Or third, or fourth, or fifth, or not at all. Never ran. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who run marathon races. Now, everybody can't win a marathon race. But they can come in stages. And who was that? A friend of ours? Carly. Carly went out and ran a marathon race. And he came in toward the end. And he was just so happy coming in. He had run the race. He had run in the marathon. And whether he won or not, immaterial. But he ran the full length of the marathon. And we were saying to him, well, do you practice much? He says, no. He says, I have a few beers the night before. And he says, I'm all ready to go. But the thing is, they run for the joy of it. And I think it was Cargill that was telling us this, that when he was running the race, he and an old lady came in the same, and she had her cane with her. And he says, it was great. It was great. And he says, she was super. But you see, this is fun. This is being yourself and having fun. And you don't have to win the race. You just have to run in it. You have to participate in this wonderful gala event. And I think that was in New York, wasn't it, or something like that. what a character, you know? What a wonderful guy. And this is being yourself and having fun and doing absolutely irrational, unreasonable, unnecessary things, but just having fun and living a grand, wonderful life. Now, Carly will never come in second. He will never come in first. He is not a competitor, but he likes to run. He likes to be in the race. He runs a successful, competent business. His business isn't the greatest, but it isn't the least either. It's a good business, a successful business. And this is wonderful. He's not second. He's number one in his business. And with his clients, he's number one. He is the greatest. They love him, they respect him, and they call him back again and again. In fact, I think he has the major banks of Switzerland that he works with, doesn't he? Very, very successful fellow. Well, once I say I settle for second, it happens to me, I am second. Now, where do you stand on this game of life? Where do you stand on this flight of the eagle? And I say, number one, comparable only to me. And because I am a happy, happy, happy guy. I love you. I love you. I love you.